Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, well, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way. Your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he...
Adam Clayton Powell, for the first time, was defeated. Charles Rangel won in a very close election. Within a few years, Adam Clayton Powell would contract cancer and die.
If we must die, let us not die like hogs penned in some inglorious spot. What use is an extra year or two to the man who kills the time that God has given him?
Much of the story of Adam Clayton Powell is on display here in this anteroom of the Abyssinia Baptist Church. But there are many parts of the Adam Powell story that you cannot see hanging up on the walls, mainly the ironies in his life. Isn't it ironic that Adam Powell was such a loud voice that few people would listen to? Perhaps if his loud voice had been heeded on the question of police corruption, there may not have been a Knapp Commission. If his loud voice about government corruption had been heeded, there may not have been a Watergate. If his loud voice against hypocrisy on Capitol Hill had been heated, perhaps Wayne Hayes and Tom Dodd and Earl Butz and Carl Albert and countless others might have not have been caught in such embarrassing situations. Adam Clayton Powell represents still another chapter in a long story of black militant fighters against oppression and injustice here in America. He wasn't perfect. He had his faults, but don't we all? The point is, he was a fighter. If he did play, he worked harder than he played. Most of all, he was a fighter.
As I know here, you're in trouble. Where it says about 30% are unemployed. That's why I'm working hard to get this surplus food here. Some of you say to me, well, I'm not like you. I'm not a congressman. I haven't got education. I haven't got work. But you're a human being. And you know what you've got? You've got in your hand the power to use your vote and to use even those few cents you get from welfare to spend them only where you want to spend them. A young slave boy stood one day before the greatest ruler of his day. And God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, Lord, only I've got a stick, that's all. He said, well, let me use what's in your hand. And God used that slave boy with a stick in his hand to divide the Red Seas, march through a wilderness, bring water out of rocks, manna from heaven, and bring his people to freedom land. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? George Washington Carver, who was so frail that he was traded for a broken-down horse as a slave boy. And George Washington Carver, sitting in the science laboratory at Tuskegee, told me, he said, Dr. Powell, he said, I just go out on the field each morning at 5 o'clock, and I let God guide me. And I bring back these little things and work them over my laboratory, and that man did more to revolutionize the agricultural science of peanuts and of cotton and sweet potato than any other human being in the field of agricultural science. What's in your hand? Just let God use you, that's all. What's in your hand? I've got a string in my hand, that's all, and I'm flying a kite. And way up in the heavens, lightning strikes it, and I, Benjamin Franklin, discover for the first time the possibilities of electricity with a string in my hand. What's in your hand? Little hunchback sitting in a Roman jail. I haven't got anything in my hand but an old quill pen, but God says, write what I tell you to write. Paul wrote, I have run my race with patience. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, as laid up in me, what's in your hand, little boy? All I've got is a slingshot. And the enemies of my people are great and big and more numerous than we are. Well, little David, go down to the brook and pick out a few stones and come on back and close your eyes if you want to and pull back that slingshot and let it go. And David killed the biggest enemy, the leader of the giants, against his people, and his people became free, just letting God guide a stone in his hand. And a few years passed, and David is a king. And God says, what's in your hand? He said, I've got a harp in my hand. He said, well, David, play on your harp. And he played, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Taketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Man hanging on a cross. I've got two nails in my hand. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? And that man, with two nails in his hand, split history in half, B.C. and A.D. And what's in your hand tonight, people of Cambridge? You've got God in your hand, and he'll let you win, because he's on your side and one with God. Always in the majority, so walk with him and talk with him and work with him and speak together and fight together, and with God's hand in your hand, the victory will be accomplished here sooner than you dreamed, sooner than you hoped, sooner than you prayed for, sooner than you imagined. Good night and God bless you.
Friends, it is time once again for our daily message of hope. And with today's message, here is Richard Eaton.
Friends, to brighten your day, here is our message of hope. Speaking of the quality and power of love, on this new day, fresh and clean and unused, moldable to your touch, reminds me strongly of an old fable. The sun and the wind agreed to hold a contest to determine which was stronger. One day when the wind was roaring and bragging about his strength, the sun challenged him in the fable. The sun said, "I see a way to decide our dispute. The one who can make that traveler take off his heavy cloak shall be the stronger." The wind agreed and said he'd try first. And the wind whirled and swirled about the traveler, almost whipping the coat to rags. But the harder the wind blew, the colder grew the atmosphere. The traveler wrapped his coat about him tighter than ever before. Finally, the wind gave up, admitted his failure, declared also the sun would fail. But the sun just smiled and let his rays fall gently on the traveler down below. Soon the traveler grew so warm, he had to remove his coat to keep cool. Now love is like the sun. Its very existence and expression creates warmth. It doesn't have to whip at a man and roar and rant to be effective. The simple awareness of love is effective. Did you ever watch clouds disperse on a dark day when the sun suddenly began to shine through? The clouds seemed to completely dissolve, melt away. You yourself have that same power within you to dispel all your troubles today, all your perplexities, all your distresses. Stop talking, stop thinking about your problems all the time. Such action aggravates your troubles. Brighten your mind with the conscious happiness of love. Take the advice of a wise philosopher. Do something for somebody else quickly when you're depressed. Do something for somebody else quickly when you're depressed. Such an action will brighten and change your entire outlook in a flash. One of the most interesting facets of love is the simple fact that only in the welfare of our fellow man can we attend properly to our own welfare. When we work for our neighbor, in reality, we are working for ourselves, and we are working with God, who needs us to carry out his will and to help him help others. When God's will has been fully carried out, we've reached the pinnacle of success, peace, even world peace. I'm often amazed at the complexities we humans assume must provide the victories we strive so hard, so clumsily to win. Somehow it seems only the poets have grasped the happy simplicity of real life satisfaction. The quality love, for example, is in its essence supremely simple. But poets, rather than the so-called great thinkers, are the ones who fully grasp the significance and the meaning of love. Consider the simplicity of these soaring lines. When your heart is in despair, add more love unto your prayer. Love will meet the need. When you find a rugged way, when you have a long, hard day, when for help you pray and pray, love will meet the need. When your heart is feeling fear, love will meet the need. Love will help in all you do. Love will help you to be true. Love will meet the need. God as love will banish hate, if on him you only wait. Love will meet the need. All your needs will be supplied, if on love you have relied. Not a thing will be denied. Love will meet the need. Or listen to these singing words, one of the most beautiful prayers that I know. Teach me to love. There was a time when in my daily prayer I asked for the things I deemed most fair and necessary to my life's success. Riches, of course, and ease and happiness. A host of friends, a home without alloy, a primrose path of luxury and joy, social distinction and enough of fame to leave behind a well-remembered name. Ambition ruled my life. I longed to do great things that all my little world might view and whisper, wonderful. Ah, patient God, how blind we are until thy shepherd's rod of tendering chastening gently leads us on to better things. Today, I have but one petition, Lord. Teach me to love. Indeed, it is my greatest, my only need. Teach me to love, not those who first love me, but all the world, with that rare purity, a broad outreaching thought, which bears no trace of earthly taint, but holds in its embrace humanity, and only seems to see the good in all reflected, Lord, from thee. And teach me, Father, how to love most, those who most stand in need of love, that host of people who are sick and poor and bad, whose tired faces show their lives are sad, who toil along the road with footsteps slow, and hearts more heavy than the world can know. People, when others pass discreetly by, they fail to hear the pleading of their cry for help amid the tumult of the crowd, whose very anguish makes them cold and proud, resentful, stubborn, bitter in their grief. I want to bring them comfort and relief, to put my hand in theirs, and at their side walk softly on, a faithful, fearless guide. Help me to feel these sad ones doubly dear, because they need so much. Help me to seek and find that which they thought was lost, to speak such words of cheer that, as we pass along, the wilderness shall blossom into song. Ah, love divine, how empty was that prayer of other days, that which once was so fair. Those flimsy baubles that the world calls joys are nothing to me now but broken toys, outlived, outgrown. I thank thee that I know those much-desired dreams of long ago, like butterflies, have had their summer's day, of brief enchantment have gone. I pray for better things. Thou knowest, God above, my one desire now. Teach me to love. What could be simpler than the thoughts in these lines? A child can understand them. Yet so many of us neglect or somehow are unable to make use of their protection against happiness, unhappiness, sorrow, suffering, fear, envy, worry. We permit ourselves to be tangled in imagined complexities, and thus lose sight of love's utter simplicity. Every human being needs and ardently wishes to love and to be loved. But say the many who get lost on the way, the people I know don't seem to want or need my love or appreciation or understanding. Some of them almost make a point of telling me they don't even want my friendship. Don't you believe it? Do the flowers need sunshine and rain? Of course. The people around you want and need your goodwill and affection just as much as the flowers need sunshine and rain. Maybe they've been fooling you. They may even have fooled themselves into the belief they can get along without your love or anybody else's love. Fear, a sense of insecurity, or lack of understanding can often make human beings act and on the surface even feel exactly opposite to their basic desires. But every person in the world wants love, whether consciously or unconsciously. Your own heart, with understanding and love, can cut through the negative, untruthful, and unconscious outer layer of somebody else's fear and timidity and misunderstanding. Reach in, meet a fellow human being's deep, true wish for love and need and understanding and thirst for appreciation. We all want appreciation so very much. If you try sincerely to fill this need for love and understanding and appreciation, others will be forced out of their shells, no matter how thick or hard, into the warmth of human love. The underlying unity and harmony of life demands that we extend to others all the goodwill and kindness and generosity and love we hope to receive from them. To have a friendly attitude toward others is indispensable to our own successful living. Emerson's well-known phrase, "The only way to have a friend is to be one," was much more than virtuous sentiment. Love felt sincerely in your heart for all mankind will keep you stable and calm, serene, poised in whatever circumstances you may find yourself. Love can heal your discord of mind, your body, or the day-to-day affairs of the world you live in. Envelop yourself in it. Immerse yourself so fully and so deeply that love radiates to all about you and reflects back to yourself. Remember these words. You cannot be critical and radiate love. You cannot be selfish and radiate love. You cannot be angry and radiate love. Try another experiment. Consider for a moment some individual from whom you feel no sentiment of love or affection. Then try to think how you would react if you should learn this person felt only love for you. The result of this little exercise alone may surprise you. Through the love you express, you can accomplish anything you desire, eliminate anything or any condition that might otherwise work against you. So, in one way or another, to define love is an admonition. Be the friend you want. Be courteous, be gentle, be kind. Above all, be understanding of yourself, of your own shortcomings, as well as those of others. If a friend understands you, it's obvious this understanding brings out the best within you. Remember, this works both ways. If you understand a friend, you bring out the best within his makeup. You may even help the friend find within himself forces and powers and love of which he's unaware. There's a poem called Friendship, written by Francis J. Gable, that always comes to my mind when I think about human beings trying to make friends. Says Gable, "I want the man I meet each day, wherever I may be, to know that joy and happiness just radiate from me. I want to put so much into the hand clasp I extend that every man I meet will say, I know he'll be a friend. I want to greet my fellow man with such a hearty smile that will banish all their care and make life seem worthwhile. I want to understand their need and such assistance lend that every man I know will feel I'm glad he's my friend. I ask not honor nor reward for anything I do. I just would open wide my heart and let the love shine through. Though I but meet a brother once, one touch, one smile I'd send and cause that man to sing for I'm glad he's my friend." And so, friends, you've been listening once again to our message of hope. God bless you, everyone.
Listen again tomorrow, friends, for another message of hope with Richard Easton. This is UBC, the United Broadcasting Company.
All right, time for another edition of It's My House in DIY Housing TV. We're going to do a debrief today. We did a boots on the ground. What do I want to call it? Meeting, briefing. We went for about an hour with some people up in from our radio program, which we do on Monday nights, which that comes under Abiding Faith Housing Ministry. So we met with some people, boots on the ground, pretty very positive group. They're going to do a lot of great things. In building tiny houses, and more than likely there's probably going to be at least one village that pops out of that group that we met with last night. So we're going to do just a real short debrief on that session last night in Jacksonville, Florida. I had a long day yesterday. I left here at 11:45 a.m. And then we made it up to Jacksonville around 3-something in the afternoon. But then I was like in immediate scramble mode when I got there. Anyway, but we had the session. It worked out well. And we have a conference call just for that group that we met boots on the ground yesterday, later today. And then I got a whole bunch of things I got to do in between that. So more on the debriefing right after this.
Thank you.
right. Okay. I titled this program today, but I'm not going to get deep into the title because, man, I'm still recovering from yesterday. Walk by faith, not by sight, because parts of yesterday we were winging it, but it all worked out. It all worked out. So we had our first boots on the ground meeting, which the plan is essentially we'll be meeting twice a week, Tuesdays and Saturdays. All right, at least for Jacksonville. All right, we'll expand to other markets, but right now we're establishing Jacksonville, and we want to get that on a smooth running operation because, once again, for the last month, we've done a radio program from 6 to 7 p.m., and that program, it works. But this past Monday, we did a radio program as we did in the last month, but what we did was we set our first meeting on the next night, because it's from my experience, because this isn't my first rodeo with this type of stuff, is if they hear you, and we do intermittent effect. Let me open up Robin's mic real quick. If you do, good morning, Robin, if you're there.
Good morning.
All right, good morning. Yeah, Rob, before I get your comments, let me put this out there. So it's from my, not belief, but experience. If they hear you, and I'm going to use what we did Monday, if they hear you on a Monday or Friday or whatever it is, and particularly it could be television too or a live stream on whatever. Okay, I got booted. So if they hear you on a Monday, like I said, we do our Monday radio program out of Jacksonville. That's what I call laser beam marketing, boots on the ground. So we had our first meeting where they met us. They heard us between 6 and 7 o'clock at p.m. on Monday, and they met us at between 6 and 7 p.m. yesterday, because today's what, Wednesday? Yeah, so they met us from 24 hours from the time they actually heard our voice. So we had, and these people came out in the rain. They came out in the rain, all right? And I'll go over the metrics and all that, the detailed metrics, another day this week. But we got a good, excited group, so and they're mostly women. We had 11 people show up, 9 women, 2 men. They came out in the rain. I didn't think anybody was going to show up, to be honest about it. And because when it rains in Jacksonville, it rains in feet. It rains like really hard. So they showed up. So we have our first conference call with them this evening. So anyway, Robin, turn it over to you, your observations.
So your wings, that we're going to give you your wings. You know how the airlines have the little wings that you can pin on your lapel? We're going to give you some golden wings because you were flapping them wings yesterday. We were definitely winging it. And, you know.
You're right about that.
It's just evidence of things not seen is faith. And so we got to see faith in full operation yesterday, which is really
right. We were definitely on Faith Street yesterday. We were definitely on Faith Street yesterday. And we're still on it today, but it's just not as intense. Yesterday was intense, but it all worked out. There's no way we could have, let me speak for a second. There's no way I could have orchestrated. I'm still processing it, but it all worked out. So we were definitely on Faith Street. So that's, you know what, that's one of the reasons why I play that Steve Harvey piece practically every morning. Because you need that.
Yeah. That's the first thing that I observe. The second thing was that I observed was that it, even though it didn't go out, you know, like maybe we forecasted it, right?
Right.
But it happened as it should be. It's just amazing. I don't quite know how to frame the words, but it's amazing seeing the plan come to fruition. So I observed like you said, okay, so we can go on the expertise of your past experience, which was you knew to meet with the people within 24 hours after they answer the call to action, after they call in to
right.
the station. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I was
and
just
so,
amazed. I didn't think anybody was going to show up. It was raining. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It was raining, and we were in scare because me and Robin had to do a lot of communicating by the phone and calling people and all this. And thank you, all those angels who answered our calls yesterday and helped us get through yesterday. But it all worked out perfectly. Okay, so. Like I say, we have, it's a pretty, and what I like about this group that we have, now this is boots on the ground, face-to-face. Now, Robin wasn't there face-to-face, but we brought her in on a speakerphone on my phone. So, and everybody knows, well, they knew Robin from the radio program anyway. Okay. And then when they heard her in the meeting, at our meeting place, Boots on the Ground, she was there by speakerphone, okay, and I was there. So that's our Boots on the Ground thing. So I already know there's going to be some very interesting achievements out of that group. So now we've got others. We're continuing from yesterday. We might not have to flap our wings as hard today, but we're still flapping. Okay. But it was an intense, not the whole day, but it got really intense. I think about 2 hours.
Yeah, right at that crunch point, and then right when you start, well, as soon as you got to the radio station, it was on and popping. It's amazing.
It was popping then, but it was on before we. Well, you know, like I said, it started when I called you. I was about 89, 90 miles outside of Jacksonville, so we took out, you know, a refueling stop, you know, hit the head, that type of thing, get some snacks. So it started then, and then when we got into Jacksonville, then it. But you know, like I said, it was on. It worked out. It worked out perfectly on Faith Street. So we got our first Boots on the Ground family, and they are excited. Now, what I like about this is, like I said, it's got 11 people show out of, in the ring. Okay. And 11 women, excuse me, 11 people, 9 women, 2 men, and they want to, so we're starting them off tonight. And then, you know, because we got to do some safety stuff and, you know, some of the stuff that we're going to review because from last night and then they'll be out there with the nail guns or the, not the nail guns, drills and wood and making tiny houses. And more than likely out of this group is going to grow a village. Matter of fact, it's a village in the making already.
Yes. Oh, it's exciting. It's exciting. I know I had moments where I grumbled and I fussed, but it was a learning experience for me that I really can trust God. Really, really can. You know.
So, like I say, the one thing in the last month, like I say, if and this is part of our, well, we got a community now. Our value, I don't know how exponentially it has expanded, but it has exponentially expanded. Because, like I say, after we talk to them, we, like I said, our radio program on Monday night, Abiding Faith Housing Ministry, we talk to them from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's just an hour-long program, all right? It's nothing like the podcast that we do here, which we can take our time to talk for almost 3 hours. It's a semi-formatted one-hour radio program. The last program that we did, which we had our highest radio number so far, 25% of the time, people were calling in. And then we met with those people because they had to call and make a reservation. Then we call them back after the program, and then we meet with those people. We met with those people yesterday. They came out in the rain from 6 p.m. No, that meeting was, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. yesterday. 24 hours from the time they heard our voice, they were there. Now, here's another interesting thing. One of the people that was the guest that was on our show Monday, okay, Miss Mosby, okay, who has her own outreach. She was there. She heard us 2 weeks ago. When she was getting her car or something like that, at the end of the program, then I invited her on for yesterday. I invited her for Monday. She was on the air with us Monday remotely. And then on yesterday, she showed up in person, in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
So with that.
Yeah, that was, you know, and one thing I got, because I spoke to Lakeisha and got a feedback from last night and this morning, and they, the people came. See, this is a good example of people will do what they want to do when they want to do it. So regardless of the rain, the circumstances, if it's something that people want to do, so the people showed up and they came in the rain because this is something that they wanted. And the feedback that I'm getting is, they want to know how to build, what types to build. Okay? They're like ready to go. But the observation is, yeah, they came because they wanted to know, to learn something, which is really, really amazing. See, God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, and all we want to do is teach them. What? Because God says, they will build houses and inhabit them. So we're teaching people how to build, and it's a great thing, but on the flip side, we've been stripped of the knowledge of our of where we're from, okay? So where we used to know how to build, okay? By the time we were 15 years old, male or female, we probably had our own home that the family built, probably two or three kids by now that know how to provide, you know, all of that. So the people, they want this. And so we don't have to sell them. We don't have to convince them. We just have to offer it to them. It's almost like we're giving them back themselves. Delmar is on the line. Good morning, Delmar. Do you have anything you'd like to comment? Okay, maybe not. Your line is open if you do have something you'd like to contribute. But yeah.
Yeah, I had my mute on. I'm here. Good morning. I'm fired up and fired up three times. Really excited about what happened yesterday and all of it and all of you guys. Last night, ABC did another piece on homelessness. And I'm telling you guys, this project is about to explode. It's much more serious than we see right now. This is God's business, and LA kept talking about faith, and that's what it's all about. And the other teaching we found out, even in a non, what you call, biblical sense, Robin, man has learned that the universe responds to our mind, our movement. When we think and put in action something, the whole universe responds to that. So we respond to God's call, Robin, in your ministry, LA vision. And so big people are responding to something far greater than we are. And thank God there'll be millions of people going to be, this is, you mentioned about the village, the community, LA. This is going to be a model that people are going to find out all over the world, perhaps, that we can have a mind, and the people say, let us rise up and build and get it done. So I'm excited about that. Thank you.
And thank you, Delmar, because with Delmar, so many blessings. I'll call you later today because we're still doing stuff from yesterday. But on Monday's call, we got the highest amount of calls from Monday, this past Monday, and we did for the first four shows we did on that station. So, and that helped. Well, Delmar shows up, praises us in, gives us a sermon, then gives us a lesson, and then gives praises out. We get the highest amount of calls, and then some of those calls came in yesterday, I think, Robin took those calls. And then they show up in the rain. So thank you, Delmar, because we have when we do these shows, it's me, Robin, and Delmar. That's our little consistent collaborative team. And then we had a guest on Monday. Viola was on the Monday before that. But now the Monday before that, Viola gave away three books, which was very helpful. But we didn't give anything away. But whatever you said, what the Delmar's present was, you know, so thank you, Delmar, for that. Let's see, before we shut it down, because we got some other stuff to do before 6 o'clock, let me open up the mic. Let's see if it'll open up. Okay, it'll open up. 866 area code. I believe that's Grasshopper. Your mic is open.
Yeah, that's me. It's Chris.
Good morning.
And I'm very proud of all three of you. You know, I've had faith. I've been living on Faith Street. Haven't had time to really be on the show in the morning and enjoy and share along with you guys through what you've been doing here for the past month. But I'm very, very excited about the 11 people that showed up. Because if you look at the multiplicity of the three of you, you were able to each bring three, you know, almost three, to the table. But there was more that heard it, and there's more that's going to receive it off when them 11 people went home, because they shared it with somebody. So that multiplicity
right.
started. And it's happening. You know, I just had a meeting this morning about 18 acres that I had talked 200 apartments on it, but it had 18 acres that needed to be developed. And it belonged to the college here in my city, and they sold it. Well, I happened to meet the investors that bought it. And you know what? They have the mindset about the community. And they just turned that entire property and project over to me to do a youth program and to start filming everything we're doing over there, all the work that we've done, all the work we're doing, and all the work we're going to do. And they're bringing the greenhouse technology to the property. So they're going to start producing food because this is an agricultural community. But this is in the middle of the city. It is not rural property. This is in the middle of the city. But I got something that I can offer everybody out here in the listing area since I've been gone. If you own property and you're paying taxes, if you would like a land patent on your property and never pay taxes again, then you need to contact me. It is a wonderful thing. I got the foremost expert in the world to do it. And, I mean, just including all of you to it. So this goes out to everybody listening. You don't, if you are paying bills, you don't have to be. You know, we can work on eliminating them and giving you more power. But once you get the land patent, and I'm getting a patent on this property right now. We're getting ready to start it. They just found out about it this morning. But they said yes to it. So it also becomes unrestricted. So now this is land in the middle of the city that is unrestricted. Think about it. This is where they think they got a grasp on you. This is where you take what's put in place and utilize it for your benefit. But I am so proud of you guys for what you guys are doing, because what you've done and this foundation that you have started falls right in place with these communities, as we were talking all this time, all year long, right? I ain't been on your radio show on Monday, but I would like to. And I'd like to come down there and be in person. And I'm willing. I'm looking forward to some exciting contacts that I was talking with this weekend for some, you know, a very major city here in the country. I'm not going to say what it is. But I'm looking to meet with the mayor next week. I'm waiting on the date and the time, but I've got people from around the country that are coming in on the solution, because it takes everybody. We got to come together. And I look forward to it, because I tried to push the meeting to the 16th, but they want the information faster than that, because winter's here. You know, we talked about that all year long. We were losing the spring and we were losing the summer. And then it came into fall. But you didn't fall, you stood up. And I want to say thank you for having faith in yourself for what y'all done. Now, I had another meeting Monday morning that I got told yesterday that I got the construction job. And it's in Texas. And it's a $60 million project. I'm excited about that. You know, I'd like to give an update on the Maui project. We've been working on it about 6 weeks now. We got over 50-something episodes on hopeformaui.org that you can watch and see all the concerts and different things. But you're getting live updates of it. You're also now we're doing interviews with the people on the island. But there's been over $1 billion worth of land donated so that we can build homes. We're working on having the product there to clean the ground, and so that way they can put the dirt back down. So we're working on that. And someone stepped up and purchased 200 homes from an organization that we wound up partnering with. And it was beautiful because this person gave 200 homes to the people of Maui. And I just sent over an invoice for 250 other ones where they're going to build all the houses themselves. This project, same thing you guys are talking about doing, you met with people yesterday, exactly the same thing. But these people are going to get paid to build them houses. And they're going to continue to build this material, way of life, helping the other people on the other islands, being that resource. So, you know, these islands are bigger than you think they are. There's a lot of people there, and there's a lot of hurt. But it's time for us all to help, right? And, you know, me just sitting back in the sideline and watching what you guys are creating is amazing. Because action. You guys are about action, and I do like it. I love it, actually. I don't like it. I love it. It brings joy to me. And, you know, I've been on the show a few times. I've just been listening. But I haven't been able to necessarily be there with you guys and share anything. And it's quite all right because I've been extremely busy. But you guys are intentional. And that's what I appreciate the most. And, you know, you've been intentional for 9 years, L.A., going on 10 now. Come on, now we're getting close. Getting close to that 10-year mark, brother. How many shows do you have right now?
Yeah, man, it's over 2,400, and December the 24th will be 10 years exactly.
Right, yeah, Christmas Eve. And, you know, we've got a goal. We still got to reach that goal. You know, we set a goal last year, and I'm ready to meet that goal. I'm ready to come down there, if it's down there, if it's anywhere. It doesn't matter to me. What I looked at doing right here was I was coming down. I'm getting my box truck fixed right now. I got it running the other day. I got new tires for it and new batteries in it. And I'm having all the fluids and everything done. Got the brake lines getting fixed. I'm waiting on the parts. That's all I'm waiting on right now. And that truck can roll. Now, I'm coming down, and I was going to hit right there where the hurricane was and go right up through the path of the hurricane. But I wanted to do it, pay it forward. Maybe you guys can talk about it on Monday's shows, because I want to drop down in Florida and come down there and, you know, wind up picking up material at the other one and coming back up the other side. That way everybody can get a feel and we can do this all over and people ain't got to travel so far or anything else. We can open it up to the communities because I do have 3,000 acres right there in Orlando. And I'm waiting to have a meeting on the next move for it. But they're ready. They're ready for me to do whatever we want to do. So it's open for ideas. They told me I can break it up in any way I want to break it up. And what they said to me was 100-acre tracts, and that was still 30 of them. But I was like, no, I'm thinking 2, 4, and 10, and maybe 20-acre tracts. Those would be the communities. And we do something different in each one of them. And we cater to the people coming to Florida looking for something to do with their family that would change their life and someone else's life, and they would enjoy it. They can have it, take it back with them wherever they go because they did something. So not only a vacation, but, you know, a staycation. Maybe you're working on someone a place to stay while you're gone. Maybe that might be a word we can use, staycation.
Yeah, I like that word. That is a good word, a staycation cabin.
Yeah, staycation cabin. And I got micro mansions, so, you know, we want to mention that, you know, micro mansions. You don't think tiny houses, think micro mansion. You want an 18-foot cathedral ceiling or great room? I'll give you one. If you want that, that's what I'll give you. But it's the part, what else could you do with it? How many unique things could you do in this facility and not have a square box that you sleep in? And get creative with that. There's so many things and so many options and so many things that you can do that people need to understand that, hey, your imagination is the limit, and it's unlimited. So, you know, you're either, you know, doing something positive, being part of the solution, or you are the problem. But we want to understand that you're not the problem. You just might be at the moment. You got to have faith that people will see. You know, I've been able to share some pictures of houses that we've been doing. And I shared them on the Facebook, on your DIY housing.
Okay,
pictures.
Thanks. Thank you.
Because the thing is I put in there, DM me for an order. You want to do something, it's that simple. These things can be made in moments. And then you can create them in a few hours. And what you create in them few hours will last forever. Everybody's got a few hours. You know, let's put in 8 hours. You know, right now, if we did the push, you know, and you did the 888. You got them from 8 to 88. Everybody's got a purpose. They can all play a part, even if it's sharing. But 8 to 88, everybody put in 8 hours. Man. You'd be surprised how many of these problems are going to go away, because it's all there in the palm of your hand, but it takes you to do something. And that's what you guys are doing. You know, you did it, and you put 11 people in place. And to hear your excitement prior to me getting on here, this is all about, you should be excited, because that's why I get up in the day, is to watch that light in their eyes. Not for me to talk on a radio. It's to see someone's light, because I can watch when people start thinking and creating. I can see it in them. It ain't nothing more exciting than that. And I know you saw it last night. You saw people absorbing what you created. But you were there for them to help you create what it is. Nothing would have been without them or you. It took all of you to create what you did and to give that feeling you have. Because the feeling you have is the same one they have. I'm pretty sure of it. Would you agree that you think they feel the same way this morning?
Yeah. I agree. As a matter of fact, we got a meeting at 6 today. Yeah.
I love it. You know, that is intentional. You know, that's movement. You have done something, and you took those first two letters, doing, and you're meeting a need, and you take those two letters, N-E, off of that, and you put it together and getting it done. You guys are amazing. The ignition had to start. Talked about it a lot, but you took your words and put them into action. Now they can see them. And I want to say thank you. Yes, I'm ready. I'm excited. I really am. I'm excited for what you guys got to see, but what you're going to see. That's what's got me excited. It's just started, and you feel how it's going to accelerate. And, you know, all we had to do was initiate. Took a lot of planning, a lot of talking, a lot of getting ready for it. But y'all put in the time. You put in the effort. And now you're going to get the reward of giving. What it truly means. And this pay it forward program. I'm going to build a house at the factory. I'm going to put it on the trailer. I'm going to pay it forward first. I'm going to do the first one. I'm going to the next community. And I'm going to pull that house off and set it on the ground. And I'm going to pull the material off of the trailer. And I'm going to build it with them, just like that one. And we're going to pick it up and put it on the trailer. And I'm going to take it to the next community. And when I get to the end, If there's still a homeless problem, who's the problem? So you got to go put it in their face. So I'm going to go put it in there, every one of your communities. The difference is watch the multiplicity that happens from the one. But you got to start, and it's got to make the two. If you just multiply one times one time, it doesn't matter, right? It's going to be one. You can bring nine. If they don't get it, it ain't going anywhere. It's always going to be nine. You've got to show them where the two is. I'm giving the first one. Now we're going to hit two. That second one's going to start the multiplicity because they're going to see what someone else did for them just so they could see. But I'm proud of you guys. Excited. I'd like to know more. I'd like to be filled in a little more because I've been out of the realm, but we don't have to do it on radio. I'm just so proud of you guys.
Okay. We'll give you updates as we get them and make them. On that note, I lost my board here. Let's see. All right. So we got, I'm going to cut it short today because we got a meeting to prepare for six. I got phone calls that I have to make from last night. Well, we're doing what we do. We all got stuff to do. So, let me find my, Robin, any, I got to sign out of my laptop and sign back in. Robin, anything or demo you want to add before we clock out for today, at least on blog talk?
You know, I remember many planning sessions and discussions that we had, and I remember at some point I began saying, "We just need to start."
Yeah. You said that a long time ago, a few times. Matter of fact, this is the radio part, which is different from the podcast. Let me bring out some, because I'm a numbers guy. We had let me whip out my calculator. We know if all else goes wrong, we're going to get at least five people per hour broadcast. Now, we almost tripled that with Delmar this past Monday. And we've hit 10 or 10 plus twice in a month. All right, just went out. So, but I'm just going to use five. So our goal is to expand 5 days a week with radio. All right. Now, we for those who know, like Delmar knows, Rob knows, you know, we're looking at five radio markets. Just Jacksonville's the first one. We're just really getting started there, so we got to develop it, get the kinks out before we go to another one. Because there's a lot of things we're discovering. After every broadcast, we debrief, and we discover things that we didn't know the previous broadcast. And then yesterday added a whole nother dimension on it as well, because that, you know, when it came to boots on the ground, you know, so we were discovering, and then we debrief mornings and mostly mornings, all right, including with Denmark. Now, so if we did 5 days a week and just got five a day, which if all else goes wrong, that's what we do anyway. So that's 25 a week, 100. Now, this is 100 people that call in and make reservations, all right? Now, Monday, we did a program. We got like 14 call-ins, I think. I didn't take two of them. Robin took, you know, some yesterday while I was traveling. But let's go with Robin. What was that number? 14 calls total? Okay. She's doing something.
Yeah.
All right.
It's 14, I believe 13, 14 calls.
Or right, let's say 14. So we did that 5 days a week. That's 70 reservations a week, 280 reservations a month. Now, but let's get, because everybody who makes a reservation doesn't come in. So yesterday, now here's the goal I'm putting out there now. Yesterday we had 11 people show up in the rain. Okay. So we did that 5 days a week. That's 55 people per week, new people per week, 220 people that we could see face-to-face. Because what we do, we talk to them on the air first. Robin, when they come in, Robin's the one that answers the phone on air. And that's the first contact of relationship building. Our whole thing is matter of fact, this is how good this is. I'll take those 11 people yesterday over anybody who's got a million people that subscribe to them on YouTube. And here's why. Get any YouTube subscriber that you want to pick that has a million subscribers or more and ask them, how many people of your subscribers do you know on a first name basis? We know our people. How many of those million people, subscribers, do you have their phone number and in some cases their work number? We have
Right.
that.
What they look like. Have you seen her?
We know what they look like in person, the whole nine yards. So I'll take our 11 over anybody's million subscriber base on YouTube any day of the week.
I will too.
The advantage that we have, look at Steve Harvey and the TV shows that he hosts, the game shows, all of that, right? And all the followers he has, but he never once goes, hey, after his show, you're all going to come in tomorrow. I'm going to be in Jacksonville tomorrow to meet, greet me. Oh, and guess what? I'm also going to teach you something, and we're going to build. Okay? We have that advantage that we have that connection where we're going to meet with the people face-to-face, and those people want something from us versus usually the flip side, we want something from them, their money. We're not selling anything like that. We're just teaching. So it's phenomenal. I'm really pleased.
Me too. Well, on that note, people, we're going to close out, Robin, because you know we got a laundry list of things to do on both our tables before 6 o'clock this evening. Because before you know it, it will be 6 o'clock. So. And I'm going to try to catch a catnap in here some kind of way. On that note,
okay.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.